Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
Jake, I think I'm going to curl up and take a nap for the next hour.
Bye.
10,000 years, I'm free. It's time to conquer Earth.
Alpha, readers escape. Recruit a team of teenagers with attitudes.
Why do you hate yourself?
Oh my gosh, by golly. First of all.
Hey, welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman. I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I produce this mess. Thanks for tuning back in.
Jake, I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that came up with the crazy list of comics that we read through each week, so you have me to blame.
I liked that intro, Aaron. That's very high energy.
Recruit teenagers with attitude.
I'm Ben, your sunshine into Gotham, the baby brother, and you're listening to The Brotherhood of Batman, a podcast where us three broskies get together to talk about Batman. And today, he's in one page of the comic book we read. So
I feel like in all of these, he's in one token page.
It's true. Yeah. I gave you Alfred, Aaron.
I appreciate that.
So we will be reviewing World's Finest 3 today. So I made you guys a themed beverage. It is a blue Hawaiian, although it looks very green and swampy.
Yeah. It's got a lot of pineapple and some coconuts.
Yeah. I know pineapple's not your thing. How is
I don't mind.
It's an actual drink. I made an actual drink.
No, thank you. Yeah, it's not bad.
So it is a blue Hawaiian, obviously, because half this book takes place in Hawaii.
Yeah, but it's colored like the villain.
Ta-da. It's like I planned it. Really, pineapple juice is just very, very fucking yellow. So
it is just very yellow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
What's going on in your geeky little lives?
Stop talking about comic books or what do you think you're doing? Nerd. Stop spending.
Get those nerds!
Geek.
I mean, I'm the Batman of geeks, bitch.
Well, I'll go first. I've been watching a couple of shows, and Toby and I have watched the first two episodes of Moon Knight.
How is that?
Which is pretty good. It's currently running on Disney. There's only two episodes out. The next one, you know, comes out Wednesdays. I've read a few trades. The trades I thought were a little confusing, the ones I read. There's a lot going on. It's like the main character's got a dissociative identity disorder, so you find that out like in the titles. But it's got some different things going on, multiple personality kind of things. And so him figuring that out, I think they're doing a pretty good job of trying to explain that in different ways with some mythology and some, you know, other stuff going on there.
Well, it's Oscar Isaacs, and he's a strong actor.
Poe Dameron
from
yeah.
Star Wars.
Yeah, which is, so definitely check that out. I think it's been decent so far. I won't give final reviews until it's all out. But
what is his like power or like what's the shtick?
He is. It's kind of a multiple personality thing, but it also has like Egyptian gods kind of in there, where he's kind of like. One of the personalities is he's possessed by the Egyptian god of the moon, which then in turn gives powers and stuff. Yeah.
But he's very like Batman level powers, good fighting, heightened athletics, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of Daredevil-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
But it's not coming from science or training. It's coming from being imbued with these powers.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out. The
but
Disney
not
Plus.
All of us personalities know about that, so it's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd asked you off recording, Ben, if you'd watched the Suicide Squad movie yet, and you haven't.
I haven't.
And
you can say whatever you want to say.
I'm not. It's not. But I've been watching, and I only I have half an episode to go, and I was hoping to finish it, but I ran out of time. Peacemaker on HBO Max. Have you started, Jake?
I have not. No.
It is, if you haven't seen Suicide Squad, Peacemaker is a B, C, D tier list character in the show, or in the movie, in the comics, and they have run a series of him. It's John Cena and a bunch of the cast from that, and it is far better than it has any right to be, is what I'm going to say. It's really fucking good.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's really funny. It's really violent. I'm not letting the boys watch it.
Oh, wow.
It's I think you would enjoy it, Ben. It's really, really well done.
Doing more spin, I didn't even know that was a thing. Are they doing more spinoffs from Suicide Squad?
I don't know. I think they've signed up for another season of this. It's like a eight episode, huh. Something like that.
Does it have some other like cameos and?
Yeah, it's so if you've seen the Suicide Squad movie, there's a bunch of people from that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nice. Nice.
So it's definitely worth a watch.
The people who made it through, I'm assuming.
yeah. Well, yeah, right.
Flashbacks.
But
Carnage.
It's very, very goofy. The intro is this dance montage scene, which if you just watch the intro, Ben, you'd want to watch it, I think.
Nice. So. But I should probably watch the movie first.
You got to see the movie first, otherwise it won't make any fucking sense.
You're going to love the movie.
I know. I want to. We enjoyed the Harley Quinn one. So
if
I
you
just,
like
just
the Harley Quinn
forgetting.
One, this is everything that was good about the Harley Quinn and more.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, Killer Shark alone. I want to. It's just a matter of like when we sit down to watch things, I need an actual list of things that we need to watch because we keep forgetting.
Yeah.
So
I think Josh might find parts to enjoy.
I think what's fun about the Suicide Squad movie, especially the second one, is if you know Harley, then you have a leg up. But I don't think you need to know anybody.
Yeah.
No, you don't need to know.
Because it's all low level, low popular characters anyway.
And it sounds like half of them don't last very long anyways.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
By the time you learn them, they're gone.
I mean, they're not called the Suicide Squad for nothing.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I think Ben and I are going to share our Week in Geek to celebrate Aaron's birthday. You had a day all about you a little while ago. And
Happy birthday, my favorite times.
Happy birthday. I'm so glad it fell on an episode that you're so excited about. Jake, go first.
We have a couple things for you. I don't rap, so this is nice. You get it in the bag it came in.
Oh,
so
well,
there you go. Yeah.
Thanks.
I paid for the box.
It's a pop-up Black Canary. Wow, I don't have this one.
I was worried you might already, so
I am shocked.
It was a risky gift.
That is pretty damn funny.
She's got fishnets.
She does. I can hear the screams going on in my head right now. Thanks.
Is that the scream that you're hearing? Are you excited?
All right, and as promised in a previous episode, Aaron, I have for you a one-of-a-kind autographed copy of the second book that I have a letter in.
Oh, good. Well, I'm
going
to read that
right now. Look at the cover. Describe it to us.
It is Young Justice number 41.
Oh, how ironic.
Make way for the Ray.
But whose costumes are burning up in the background, Aaron?
Robin's costume burning up. Is that the only one burning up?
And Impulse.
Oh, okay.
Your favorites.
Impulse burning up. Awesome. Maybe that'll play into an episode coming up. And we have this Ray guy. So let's find the letter in here.
Yes,
go for it.
Well, we knew how much you love your birthday, so we had to help you be salty about it as much as possible.
Yeah, thanks.
So awesome. This is my second and last entry in the letter column world. And I have not reread it. I made sure that was the issue, but I did not read it before coming.
Oh, okay. Well, here it is. Dear Young Justice Team. You never fail to amaze me. Issue number 37 was so well done, I felt it was too short. Whenever someone enjoys something, it goes much quicker.
Child Ben mansplaining things to the world.
I finished the story and looked for extra pages.
Where's the rest of the book?
Sadly, I'll just have to wait 30 days. I'm sure you'll make it worth my time, as you always do.
Oh my god.
I think the person flying Jesus, Bart's Ben. Ship on the last page is either Clarion, Burn, 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 the Witch Boy.
Bum, 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 Aaron. Oh. Bum, bum, bum.
It looks like Burn, Burn, Burn. Sorry. Bum, 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 the Witch Boy. Or Clarion, Bum, 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 the Witch Man. This would explain why the person knows exactly what was going on with the Lobos. I believe whoever it was had something to do with bringing the Lobos to life and making them age. I laughed so hard.
How hard did you laugh, Ben?
It was probably a good chortle.
The Majesty person conveniently explained that the only one Lobo would be left, and he would be an adult. No more little Lobo. Yes, I am also glad he did not stay dead, as superheroes seldom do. Mm-hmm. I have two suggestions.
Oh.
Two words. Courtney Whitmore.
That's Stargirl. How relevant to today.
Two, bring back Secret's parents. We know who they are since Secret was Harm's sister, and Harm's parents were in issues 4 and 5. So obviously, they're so Secret's eloquent. Parents also. It would make an interesting storyline to have
nerd.
Secret visit her parents and see how they are doing. Do they watch the news? Have they seen Secret with Young Justice? If
These
so,
are good questions, you guys.
Did they recognize him? Her? These are just some ideas. Thank you for your time. Keep up the excellent work and keep those great stories coming. Ben Winkler, www.benwinkler.yahoo.com.
I don't know.
That's very odd.
That's not how emails go.
That is not.
To be fair, yeah, it's bad.
And then you got a response.
Oh.
Sorry, but no Clarion Bum 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 the Witch Person. It was, in fact, another Lobo survivor. Do you all like Slobo more than Lil Lobo?
Barely.
And as for your two suggestions, one of them is going to be acted upon in mere 2 months.
It was Secret's parents, you guys. I knew what was up. I was really hip to storytelling. So you're welcome, Aaron.
Well, thank you.
You're the only one with a signed copy of that book.
And I don't know where I'm going to put this Black Canary. It's going to go into the comic closet for sure.
You just turn her to face the wall.
Yes, she will be in timeout.
Well, we know how much you love
Black
Canary. So.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
What am I going to do next year? Got to write some more letters.
Please, please write letters. Do they do letter columns anymore?
They
I don't think they do.
It's a travesty. So I did write more letters after that, but they were done with me, and I did not get published.
You should just write letters based on things we've read as though it's like the 90s, and
Oh my God. Gothic. I'm writing one for Gothic.
Yes, please write a Gothic review letter to the editors, and we can...
I feel like you should
start
tweeting this stuff to the writers and stuff.
I mean, that's basically what it turned into, right?
Yeah.
So. All right, so today we are discussing World's Finest Three, otherwise known as Superboy and Robin. So this book came out in 1996, and it is the first time that Tim Drake Robin meets Superboy, the clone of Superman, who we have met on our podcast. And Robin and Alfred take a lovely trip to Hawaii, because why not? And we also get Poison Ivy and Superman's villain, Metallo, who's a big dumb robot who can magically transform into all sorts of stuff. So these are the hijinks and antics of the teen heroes coming together. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So I almost used the Transformers theme song, but then I figured the Power Rangers was almost better, so I had to go with Power Rangers. But
I think including the assemble a group of teens.
Angsty teens.
Yeah. I do, my big question, Ben, is, is why the fuck is this called World's Finest 3?
Because World's Finest is Batman and Superman, and World's Finest 2 was Supergirl and Batgirl. So the book did it, yeah.
See.
It's not like they're walking around being like, we're World's Finest 3.
Well, I was looking for the third person to fit into the World's Finest. And I was like, there's only two real hero-ish people.
No, that's good. That's a very valid point. Because, yeah, World's Finest 3, meaning like they're the three finest. Yeah.
I didn't realize that it had
It's World's Finest Volume 3, as in...
Okay, well, that would have been...
Well, see,
sorry,
I knew that, but then it's going to leak out a little bit during this episode. We're reviewing a book next week that's going to tie into this one very closely as well. And so
that one was just picked to punish Aaron, but we'll get to that next week.
But I feel like you could swap the titles of those two books, right? Because there was three characters in the other one, and there's only two characters in this one.
No. Oh, sure.
So you could... Yeah, you could do Robin
think
plus Superboy.
World's Finest fits with either of these two books.
So the title World's Finest is because that's
because
a
Batman
and Superman thing.
Yeah. Okay.
And then after they put out Batman Superman books with that title, they did a Batgirl Supergirl one.
Gotcha.
So that got the two put on the book.
Okay.
Yeah. So
yes.
I didn't even think about that being confusing. But that makes complete sense now how it would be read like that.
So is this our first intro to Metallo?
I think so.
I think so, yeah.
No.
Oh, from the from
my
the
stupid
Aaron's
ass
world
issue that I read.
Oh, the Aaron's world where you
were like Lex and
Metallo.
Yeah, Lex and Metallo teamed up.
Oh, yeah, within the future.
Yeah.
So, Ben, you and I had a private text one night while drinking about No, it was during the day.
I was bored as we
were bored working.
Yes.
So we listed our favorite Superman villains.
Yeah.
And Metallo is up there for you, you said, right?
Yes. Partly from this, partly he's just one of the ones that was done well in the cartoon show. And in this, he gets his hands, or tries to get his hands on some kryptonite. And there's a big thing where Metallo will actually have like a kryptonite-powered heart.
Yeah.
Which I think makes him a formidable foe for Superman, because what's this big robot going to do when Superman can just punch through him? So they, yeah.
Well, and we had him looking for the kryptonite ring in this book, which showed up.
Yeah, I was really happy.
Because he could, like, sense the radiation.
Probably.
You could have gone a lot of different routes with a team up of these characters. I thought Metallo and Poison Ivy worked well together as the villains, but I really was glad that they did such a big storyline with the kryptonite ring. Like, because, so, you know, jumping around, Poison Ivy takes over Superboy and enslaves him with her powers.
Pretty fucking easily, too.
He's such a hornball. He's like, oh, someone wants to kiss me? Okay. And Robin's like, don't touch her!
Yeah. And he's like, I got this. Don't worry about it. And so Robin has to go get the kryptonite ring in fear that he's going to have to take down his new friend.
And is that our first time having the kryptonite ring? I can't remember.
We read the introduction
to it.
Yeah.
It was a Superman.
It's a Batman Superman team up called a Knight in Metropolis. K-N-I-G-H-T.
It was a while ago, Eric.
Yeah, okay. I think I remember I knew about the ring and I just didn't remember.
Like, you knew about it from that issue. And I was so excited because I knew all of the things coming up, and this is obviously one of them. I was like, it's used so much, you guys. And you're like, is it? I'm like, in my books, it is.
Is it? Yeah.
I love that it's like so protected in the cave. Like, there's like layers and layers and layers of security that Robin has to get through to get it. And then it comes out of the fucking floor in this radioactive vault. And Alfred's all the time like, I don't know, Master Tim, maybe we don't do this.
Well, and I mean, when Batman showed back up, did you expect Batman to like scold him for taking the ring?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which he doesn't. He like congratulates him on doing the right thing. But
as Tim mentioned,
did he know if he took the ring?
I think he knew. If the thing's coming out of the ground,
because of how many layers of security he had, I think we've talked about it enough that I can appreciate where it's coming from. The different characterization that Bruce is now after Nightfall and coming back from all that, and his level of being able to trust more people. But when it was happening, I was like, this is the most powerful thing that Batman has in his arsenal. And would he trust anybody with it? Like,
it's a good question. Obviously, it was a device needed to move this story along. Because if you have Poison Ivy and a Superman character, you've got to have a way to bring them down. So I think it was definitely necessary. As far as Bruce's development, I think if he were to trust anyone, it would be Tim at this point in their relationship. But it's also, you've got to look at it as it's a Tim book. And so whenever stories do that, they kind of, the main character gets more leeway than they would if it was like a Batman book. Would Tim be grabbing the ring? Maybe not.
Yeah.
Tim mentions that, like, I shouldn't be doing this, but Bruce did give me permission by putting my handprint and everything in the system.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think Bruce had to have someone else that had access to it in case Superman did take him down or something else did happen, that it's got to be like, you know, Tim obviously knew about it. Like, it wasn't something Bruce was keeping a secret from him, you know?
Well, and reading in the continuity that we're in right now and the stuff that we've just read and reviewed.
The Justice League, yeah.
Yeah, there's now Batman is out adventuring with the other heroes again. And so there's got to be some part of his brain maybe that's thinking, if something happens to Superman, it could also be myself that's affected by it. And so therefore, Tim and Alfred are fail safe if I can't go about doing this.
Yeah.
it made me laugh that he, so Tim takes off his glove for the handprint. He takes off his mask for the eye thing. I'm like, what about your contact lenses? Like, the mask is not the reason your eyes are glowing. It should be like contact lenses.
I thought it was the mask. I thought the mask had like things built into the eyes.
Yeah,
eye
I
spots.
Thought it was like.
It does. It just visually, like, I'm thinking from a realistic perspective of like, if I'm wearing a mask, I don't know. Just thinking about like the Batman movie we just saw,
he's got the contacts. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
It just looked funny to me that he's like taking off all this stuff.
All right, so the first note that I have outside of it being Poison Ivy and Metallica are teaming up. The back cover, there's a part one, part two. The back cover has a quote on it that I think we'll have to discuss a little bit.
What's the quote?
Where have you been all my life?
So
with
I could
Ivy
not
holding
find
Metallo's skull, right? Isn't that what that is?
It's Ivy holding Metallo's skull.
She says it to Superboy.
She says it to Superboy,
which
okay,
is super creepy because he's 16 years old. So Poison Ivy is very sketchy in this book.
She is,
and also super murdery.
Oh yeah, she's super murdery. She gets the EMTs to kill for her
with
when
scalpels.
She,
yeah, to kill each other.
To kill, yeah, to kill each other as she like makes her escape through Arkham again and. She pretends to be sick, or she is sick because of what's going on with
pollution,
and
city shit.
Yeah. I didn't mind her. I don't mind the escapes. I love the escapes of villains. I think that's great. It's always fun to see how they're going to do that in comics and movies and stuff. So I love when those kind of things come up.
This is the second time recently that we've seen her like kill people in a car and just
yeah,
walk out
she
of the
just,
car.
She doesn't hold back on that, which is it's really kind of interesting that she is just, well, I'll do what I gotta do and I'll kill who I gotta kill because the plants.
Yeah, like I feel like she gets credit for having a noble cause and like she wants to save the environment, but she will fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Did you guys catch that when Metallo is introduced, he's like trying to get this radiation to make himself stronger, and he has this like bazooka basically and shoots these people and they just swim away, but then Poison Ivy has doctors cutting each other with a tiny knife. Like,
well, I don't understand the Metallo thing. I need some, like, does he absorbs metal, he absorbs energy, because
it's bonkers
the
bananas.
The size of him is just like astronomical. He's a fucking tank literally at different spots in this.
Yeah.
Which I thought I had a hard time taking him seriously. I liked
Did
him.
The scuba suit not help you take him seriously?
No. None of it was like no the freaking skull with spider legs was, I mean it was funny and I liked it. I couldn't take it seriously though.
Yeah,
I don't think you're supposed to. I think it's meant to be funny, and I think the scuba scene where he's like, I can't walk around as a giant robot. I need to look like a tourist. So he steals a scuba suit from the airport
with flippers and
with
all
flippers. That was the moment where I was like, okay, this book is telling me that it's not taking itself too seriously. Okay.
I wasn't sure how we were supposed to take it seriously or not.
I mean, it's peak Ben. It's very like, this is fun and this is cool and people are getting cut up and murdered, but in a joking kind of way. Like, did you see who wrote it? We got Chuck Dixon. Oh. And then Carl Kelsall is the guy that does Superboy's ongoing series.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
It's the two people that write these characters monthly teamed up.
And they're just sitting at a bar, hammered, be like, what do we do now?
Let's make it super easy to steal nuclear waste and weapons.
Oh, my God. Like,
that same plays with another book that we're going to read soon. Like, the lack of security on weapons of mass destruction is pretty insane in Gotham and other places.
Why would you decommission a nuclear sub and leave it in Gotham City? Like, of
well,
all
I,
the places
I feel
to leave
like,
it.
I feel like it was purchased by Mr. P.N. Gwynn, if I recall correctly.
P.N. Gwynn.
Commodore Shedman.
To be fair, I don't know where I was going with that.
No, there's no to be fair.
No. To be fair, Gotham has been through a lot. We get Babylon Towers again, which was exciting.
Was nice.
I forgot
part
about
of
that.
It.
But with the destructed part.
Well, and Connor. Do they call him Connor at this
Not
point?
Yet.
Okay, so
it's
he's just Superboy.
Yep.
So Superboy is like, oh, why does Gotham need my help? Are they going through another plague or whatever? Like,
which, I love that he was concerned about the plague after just making out with half of Metropolis, or half of Hawaii. He's at a, like, cop police woman costume
bikini
kissing.
Kiss contest.
Yes.
Right.
It's which absurd, but very on par for that character. And then I did think from a storytelling perspective, especially if you're like a Robin person who hasn't read Superboy, to me it was a good lead-in and good foreshadowing for him being taken over by Poison Ivy. Like, I think that's why the scene was okay. there, to be like, he will kiss whoever, and his weakness is women. And then in this, I thought it was cool that this is where we learned that kryptonite can hurt him. So yes. He'd never been exposed to kryptonite before in his own series.
One, I feel there's still, like, he does not, I mean, every time he's introduced to a new group of people, he talks about how he's the best thing that they could get from Superman. He's the best clone that they could do. Because if, correct me if I'm wrong, there's still questions maybe in his head or the general public's head. Is he actually a clone of Superman, or is he just like an empowered being that they
there's questions about it. They know that Superman's DNA was used, but that's the extent of it.
And so even he is unsure about his own origins, and so he's trying to convince himself, yes, I am. I'm just as good as they could do. I'm as close to Superman as you can get. You know, I'm not Steel. I'm not the Eradicator. I'm not any of those guys that showed up, Cyborg, Superman. I am the second best Superman out there.
Is a little rude considering Supergirl is around and she's Superman's cousin and not a clone.
Oh, absolutely.
Nobody's around. Batman's not around. Superman's not around.
I love that Tim is just like making phone calls down the list of people he's supposed to call.
Who's the next best? I mean, he doesn't call Huntress, thankfully.
Could you imagine? What's she going to do?
Nothing. She's going to bitch and moan.
Wow.
She won't be kissing Poison Ivy, so that'll
solve
things.
Yeah. Ivy goes all directions. So,
I liked that they used the kryptonite to knock Superboy down a notch, being like, yeah, you are Superman's clone, and you get all of his good stuff, but welcome to one of his biggest weaknesses, and, enjoy barfing.
Yeah, that's pretty gross. So we get that. So team up wise, we get the first issues in Gotham, second issues in Hawaii. We've got a little bit of their supporting cast going on with like Alfred and then Superboy's manager. We also for a team up,
who's all just like merchandise. It's
he's
like,
terrible.
What can I sell?
He's terrible. We get the obligatory fight scene where these two kind of fight each other.
Yes. A very awesome splash page of Robin decking Superboy with the kryptonite ring.
It was mandatory.
I think so. I mean, we've seen it in Batman history for a long time, prior to this and still after this. And so I thought it was very well handled. I liked it. I tried to find the page for you, Ben. No, you're never getting that. So.
Oh, you're trying to find the original? Yeah, no, that's probably thousands of dollars.
Yep, not happening, so.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for Googling it.
So I did like the line, I think, when Metallo's messing with Robin and Superboy shows up, and I realized it didn't take itself seriously at this point when it says, what's with all these kid heroes all of a sudden? I think that was Metallo that mentioned that, and I was like, okay, I like you.
Yeah, I was like, Aaron's going to appreciate this moment.
I did like, so I obviously, you know, Ben and I, so Aaron and I got into comics when we were younger, and then Aaron, you kind of stepped away from it, and about the time you were stepping away from it, Ben was joining me in the obsession of it, and so we read a lot of stuff growing up together after that point, and Ben being such a big fan of the Young Justice and the teen superheroes, I know a lot about these characters, and I've read a lot of stuff with him. I loved how quickly the dynamic between the two of them was set up. Like, the moment that they meet, they start acting like bickering brothers.
Right.
And Robin is the cool-headed one with a purpose and a mission, and he's trying to rein in his older hornball, better-looking, more popular brother, right? Like, he's trying to...
Are you trying to make comparisons to us, Jacob?
No. Not really.
You did just say older, better looking, more popular brother, so I don't think that's real accurate.
No, especially if he's referring to himself. So.
No, I think there's just a very quick dynamic that's built, and it's carried out forever of the life of these characters.
Mm-hmm. And of course grows and changes and develops, but
yeah,
that's what I love about it, is the dynamic. And they even mention, like, Superman and Batman don't get along, and it looks like we're not going to either. Mm-hmm. I like that their relationship, in which we'll get to see more of later, kind of twists it a little bit. Like, Robin has some of Batman's strengths, but Robin, Tim, as we know through this podcast, is very different than Bruce. Mm-hmm. And Superboy is not the, like, mild-mannered Clark Kent. Like, they're different, but they're dynamic together. Like, these two get a lot closer than Bruce and Clark ever do.
Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to mention the quote on the back of it.
Oh.
Where have you been all my life?
Oh, that's funny.
Because there's some underlining innuendos of the history of these characters, yeah, later on, right?
Their friendship is very much why people believe the now canon Tim Drake not being straight. Because these two have such a thing that fans of the books have been shipping them since this book came out.
Yeah.
I think I was telling you, Aaron, through a text. I don't remember if it was the group text, but I have a core memory of getting this book.
I think it was in the group text.
Okay. But I just remember, like, we were at the fantasy shop in Maplewood, and Dad's like, pick out a book, and if you do some yard work, I'll buy you a book. And I saw two of two, and it was Robin and Superboy, and this was, like, right when I was starting to get these books. I was like, oh, let me get this. And so I didn't even have book one for, like, years, but I was like, you don't need it. Poison Ivy's got Superboy. They're in Hawaii. This makes sense to me. This is great. And I did, like, 10 minutes of yard work, and then I sat on the porch and read it. And so...
That's fair.
Very much a core memory.
That's fair. Nice.
All right, Ben, I need a...
Uh-oh.
I need a response. So, I feel like very early on, we rated our favorite Batman villains. Yes?
Yeah.
Joker.
Mm-hmm. I think we rated
Two-Face. I believe it was
Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy,
yeah.
Okay. So, saying that she is your favorite supervillain... How would you respond to her killing dogs?
She murdered that dog. She's
berated JPV for his dog murdering. And do not hesitate to bring it up ever.
Fair. No, I actually was slightly prepared for this question. JPV is painted as a hero, and he's murdering dogs. She is a villain. She is not redeemable in this moment in continuity.
So she doesn't... stab the dog. She doesn't make it a quick death.
She suffocates it with vines.
She strangles it to death with vines, and you hear it whimper until it goes...
All right, where is like,
that?
Where's the dog?
Which page was that in? Let me see that. I don't remember.
Is that in the second one?
It's the second one. It's like the third or fourth page. Like I said, core memory.
Oh, yeah.
A Superboy flies up, and he's like, I thought I heard a dog. She's like, no dog here.
No, what dog?
And then as if he's being Jedi mind controlled, which he basically is, he's like, oh, yeah, there's no dog.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. This also, I think it's interesting that here she only uses the kiss to control people, both the Doctor and Superboy, whereas in some iterations and stories, the kiss kills people.
Yeah.
She's
got to be able to, she controls that, right? Is it because of...
My headcanon is that she can. That she can control her pheromones and her poisons.
Some storylines, it's based on, like... the lipstick or the type of plant she puts on her.
Yeah, I thought she said something in here about, like, I could change it to be fatal if I wanted to.
Yeah, and I think they're...
Not in that many words, but, you know.
She controls it.
Yeah.
At this point in publication, just in general, they're ramping her up, right? This is around the time that she shows up in film for the first time. She's had...
Yeah, this is 1996. Uma Thurman is 1997, so they were probably working on that movie when this was written.
So they're ramping her up in publication to get them excited.
Shut your mouth!
She's had some standout episodes and moments in the animated
Uma
series.
Uma Thurman is a drag icon. Sorry, Jake. Yes, the animated series really elevated a lot of the Batman villains.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so I think her power level is increasing, and it's changing from just being poisonous to people.
Right.
She now has these other abilities, too.
Yeah, I do enjoy Poison Ivy. I did enjoy her in this. I thought she was a good villain. I think she's got she's a villain whose motives are like she wants to think that she's got a purpose and she's trying to do it, but she has the way she goes about it is clearly evil and villainous.
Yeah. Most of the best villains are like that. Yeah. They think they're the good guy.
Well, and her and Tim have a history, so he's had a battle her before already.
Oh, yeah, with the VZ guy.
Yeah.
Gluh. Yeah.
Gluh.
What was his actual...
Weed whacker.
Weed whacker. Something, yeah.
Yeah. And so, I thought it was a good... Because have Superboy and Metallo faced off?
I don't think so.
Okay.
He didn't... Metallo didn't seem to... He's like, oh... Like, he knew who he was, but he didn't seem to really have much of a history with him. But...
Black and Harry. I'm so excited. I got so happy when I saw it. I'm like, oh, that's a good pop. I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
Buy it.
I know.
I was just staring at this Black Canary staring at me over here.
You can turn her around. I like the fish notes. Anything else before reviews?
Let me review my notes real quick.
I don't know. Metallo being able to just shapeshift into whatever he wants was just ridiculous.
He took over the escalator. He took over the escalator.
He took over
everything.
I have
a fear of stepping on down escalators, and I wonder if that started from this issue.
Wow, that'd be awesome if your fear of escalators came from here.
Because he makes it into a ramp.
I did like that Alfred was very unhappy about having to fly coach.
Oh my god, and he like looks back at the tourists. Alfred was kind of a pompous. He was a little into himself in this.
It was a little out of character, I thought, for what we've had on Alfred. Normally, I don't think... is like setting himself above that bar, but I guess he's so used to flying in personal planes with just a cowl and shirtless Batman flying that when he doesn't have that, it's, you know, it's a miss, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. It was a different Alfred. I enjoyed him, and I think they amped up his like adultness to counter the teens.
His more of the reluctant grandparent kind of role, as he's not the father figure that he is to Bruce or the mentor. He's more of the I have to go along with this because I got to make sure you're
he's
okay.
More like babysitting.
Yes,
right. So, he's like, I guess I'm tagging along to Hawaii
and then another island. Like, they get there and Alfred's unpacking and Tim's watching TV. He's like, okay, Ollie, we're going to a different island. I'm like, god damn, Alfred, you're the adult.
it was kind of funny.
And we know how capable he is, but he's stuck, you know, babysitting. Yeah.
But let me ask you something. What do you think of this? Say it's
all right. That was terrible. Horrendous. I'm offended. I'm appalled. Right.
That was
awesome. It's all
right. Whoa, yes.
It's yes.
No! I'll go first. Obviously, this book is super important to me. I do think... however you feel about the characters and the silliness of it, I do think the art is on point. And I think that for a team up, it did it pretty much to the T on how team up superhero books go. They fight. They've each got a villain from their own storylines. Mm-hmm. We see both of their settings, a little bit of their cast. It's probably in the top 10 of my comic stories that I have.
Nice. I enjoyed it. I'm not a Superboy fan. I like Robin in here because I think he gets annoyed at Superboy. Yeah. And so Robin getting annoyed at things that...
Being the straight man.
Yeah, I thought that... I like that. sort of. And I thought Metallo was just over-the-top ridiculous, which I like over-the-top ridiculous villains, so he kind of falls right into that. And I thought the Poison Ivy aspect was good. She's a good villain. I don't mind the storyline. And Superboy is not growing on me yet, so
he won't.
The rest of it I enjoyed. So,
yeah, I thought Ben and you guys both said it great. I think formulaic, it fits with what you want to see from a team up book. I am glad that they used like mid ranged B list villains, and they weren't fighting Lex Luthor and the Joker.
Right.
Like,
agree.
You gave them a interesting villains that matched up with Robin is the tech guy, so he has to fight a tech robot.
Yeah.
Superboy's the hornball, so he has to fight, sex incarnate villain.
Oh, well put.
And so I liked that they picked good villains for them, and that always makes a better story. And then Poison Ivy and Metallo being at odds naturally. I just thought it was kind of really on point with how the story was developed for the things that they chose to put into it.
Nice. So. Awesome.
So what's next, Jake?
Well, I actually don't know, Ben. What are we reading next week?
So, so next week is a Ben's World, where we will go on another adventure with Tim and Alfred. Stay tuned.
Great.
We'll
see
be
if
reading.
That one's as good.
It's not. We'll be reading Robin plus Impulse, also from 1996.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Not written by Chuck Dixon. What?
Surprisingly, but yeah. Written by the person that wrote the Justice League book we just read.
Oh yeah.
All right.
It's been a while.
Yeah. What did we learn, Aaron?
What did we learn?
It's that time again.
To do another one of our cute little skits?
No. It's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Well, gentlemen, we learn that dog murdering is okay if you're a villain.
I think that's true.
Well, on that note,
that's sad.
for the brother to Batman, I'm Aaron. Ugh. I'm the oldest son of us. I'll clean this up. Thanks for listening.
I'm Ben, your sunshine into Hawaii. Bye.
And I'm Jake. Thank you guys for listening.
Hopes of bitterest plants, this city's way.